Antichrist, Chapter 3, One World Government, written by David W. Dyer. Throughout my years as a Christian, I have constantly heard about the coming One World Government, which supposedly is headed by the Antichrist. But as I have read through the scriptures time and time again, I cannot find one verse which teaches this. It seems that the vast majority of Christians believe in this coming universal administration, but where is the biblical basis for it? Let us take a moment to look at some verses together. Every reader should know by now that the Antichrist coalition consists of 10 nations. That's right, just 10. This fact is repeated over and over again. In our world today, we have over 250 different nations. Now, how is it possible for Antichrist to be the head of some kind of one-world government when scripturally he only rules 10 countries? This just does not make sense. In fact, when he rises up, he doesn't even take over these 10 nations himself. He seizes control of only 3. We read, "I was considering the 10 horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots." Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. The angel explains to Daniel that this means that the Antichrist will subdue 3 kings. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. You see, when he comes to power, the Antichrist will only take actual personal control of 3 nations of the world. This may not be your concept, but it certainly is scriptural. Eventually, after managing to gain control of 3 countries, the beast persuades 7 other nations to join in with them. We are not told if they do so out of fear or if they agree with his agenda. One clue that we have is that he will divide the land for gain. Daniel chapter 11, verse 39. This may mean that he grants rulership or portions of land to those who will agree with him and work toward his goals. For whatever reason, 7 other kings join in with him to accomplish his, and as we will see, some of God's purposes. What we can know certainly is that these other kings give their power and authority to the beast. Revelation chapter 17, verse 13. By the way, dear readers, you can forget about all the conspiracy theories you have heard as explanations for the end time events. Don't worry about the United Nations, the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Skull and Bones Club, or any of the rest of this stuff. The problem with all these supposed conspiracies is that they have no biblical basis whatsoever, or they are synthesized from a very few verses. They hang from very slender doctrinal threads, having almost no scriptural foundation, but volumes of imagination. Consequently, these things have a mental appeal, but are not doctrinally sound. No doubt these various groups exist. Perhaps they even imagine that they are moving the world. But what we find in the Word of God is what will really take place. What we really need to understand concerning end times events is a teaching which unites all the various prophecies in an orderly, logical manner, not conspiracy theories. Getting back to our one world government discussion, some will undoubtedly say to me, the Bible says that the Antichrist is given authority over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Yes, I do know this verse. It must be the origin of the one world government idea. Certainly this verse, along with all the others we have been reading, must be true. However, we cannot devise a doctrine or end-time scenario based on only one verse. In order to understand what God is revealing to us, all the verses of the Bible must be considered. Whatever it is that we conclude must harmonize with all the Scriptures. This verse does not say that He governs every tribe, tongue, and nation, but only that He has authority or power over them. This is an important distinction. To govern an area or the world as a whole, you would have to regulate almost every aspect of the social, economic, and legal system. To control or have authority over, you merely must have the power to make the others do a few things which you want them to do. If you think about the situation logically, no one would be able to conquer the world militarily. Logistically, it is impossible. No ruler could ever have enough troops and equipment to invade and subdue the world. Yet, this is exactly what the Antichrist would have to do to establish a one-world government. Using the current situation in Iraq as an example, we quickly see the absurdity of such an idea. In spite of all its manpower, technology, and equipment, the United States is having trouble dominating one single country. In the same way, any invader of the world would quickly encounter insurmountable obstacles, especially from guerrilla-type warfare. Going back to our discussion of the Antichrist, we have learned that he becomes strong with a small number of followers. Daniel chapter 11, verse 23. Obviously, he will not have the military might to even think about such a global conquest. He will not be popular with most of the nations. Please remember this. The Antichrist will not be universally popular. Therefore, he must gain his control over the world through some other means. Perhaps you imagine the UN might be able to do the job of subduing the world for him. Many suppose that if the Antichrist could control the UN, then he could use this entity to do his work for him. But wait, the UN has had tremendous difficulty handling even the most minor regional disturbances that they have tackled. Small third world countries have proved impossible for the UN to control. Today, for example, they can't even straighten out the situation in Haiti, one of the tiniest, poorest countries in the world. Even with many nations contributing, the UN could never dominate the world militarily. It simply would not work. They do not have enough men and equipment. No, the Antichrist must have some other mechanism by which he forces the world to accept his new brand of religion. Another idea which many believe is that someone will gain worldwide popularity, for example, as the leader of the UN, and then unite the world under his leadership using this forum. This possibility is so remote as to be almost absurd. Right now, for example, we are seeing an attempt being made to unite all of Europe in the common market. Yet recent events are exposing the weakness and fragility of this arrangement. Various nations have rejected the new constitution. Some are discussing the possibility of pulling out of the one currency arrangement. Others are even analyzing the idea of nations withdrawing from membership entirely. An article I came across on the internet a few months ago confirms this weakness. The CIA has produced a paper predicting the disintegration of the European Union. It is very difficult, if not impossible, to unite countries with different languages, cultures, and religions. The Antichrist will not even try to do this. When you stop to consider all the facts carefully, there are some other interesting possibilities, besides a one-world government, for how the Antichrist could control the world, which spring to mind. There are a few ways that the Antichrist could rule only 10 nations and still have power to make the rest of the world do what he wants. Let us consider these possibilities together. Here are our facts which we have at hand with which to work. 1. The Antichrist arises in the Middle East. 2. His 10 nations are taken out of the remnants of the Ottoman Empire, which includes the Middle East and North Africa. 3. He directly rules over only 10 nations. Yet, 4. The Antichrist somehow is able to force the rest of the world to do his will. He will evidently even be able to exert some control over the economic systems of the nations, dictating who can or cannot buy and sell. Revelation chapter 13, verse 17. So how is it that he might acquire this kind of control? How is it that someone from the Middle East ruling over only 10 nations might be able to dominate the world and get the nations to do his will? His power is so great that he will cause millions of believers to be put to death. What hold could he have over the nations that they would be willing to participate in this sort of atrocity? This part of our study is intended to give the reader some food for thought about these subjects. It is hoped that it would provide some possibilities to look for as the events of the future develop. The following section is not based on any scripture. Therefore, it must be considered speculation. The Bible verses which we have studied about the Antichrist coming from and having his kingdom in the Middle East are timeless. They will always be true. But our speculations about how such a dictator might control the world could change over time. Nevertheless, it is worth spending some time here to look into how a modern-day Antichrist could make this work. Oil. Oil is a very small word, but it has a big impact on our modern world. Today, all the nations around the globe are addicted to oil. They have to have it. They depend upon it. Without oil, they could not plant. They could not reap. If they did, they could not transport what they grew. No one could travel to stores to buy food, clothing, and other goods. Without oil, planes would not fly, trucks would not run, and ships would not move. No one could really buy or sell, except locally, since virtually all modern transportation systems rely on petroleum. If any nation today could not get oil, panic and pandemonium would result. The world's addiction to oil is acute. The modern world is completely dependent on oil. Therefore, if someone could manage to gain control of the world's oil supply, or at least a good part of it, they would be able to manipulate all or at least most of those who depend on it. In short, they could dominate the world. Interestingly, a good share of the world's oil supply is in the Middle East. It is there that God saw fit to put a lot of oil. It is precisely this region which the Bible says will be the domain of the coming man of sin. Therefore, it is an extremely reasonable supposition that he would gain control of a large share of the world's oil reserves. If so, then the Antichrist and his 10 nations would be in a position to begin dictating what the other nations must do in order to continue receiving oil. This is an extremely important point. There is virtually no other commodity which is so necessary in our modern world. It is literally the fuel which powers every modern economy. This cannot be any secret to some individual seeking power from that region of the world. Saddam Hussein in his day realized this. He attacked Kuwait and seemed to have further plans to invade Saudi Arabia. He fought wars with Iran. No doubt he had some thoughts about consolidating his control over the oil fields in that region. In the same way, the future Antichrist cannot be unaware of the immense possibilities which would be available to someone who could seize control of these oil-rich areas of the world. Interestingly, the Bible hints at the possibility that the Antichrist will control some Middle East oil fields. Daniel 11:2 reads, "He shall enter peaceably even into the richest places of the province." The Hebrew word richest can be translated oil, Strong's number 04924. Certainly there is a correspondence between oil and riches. The word province is literally Medina, which is both a desert region and a city in Saudi Arabia today. Using these two possible translations, we could then read, "He shall enter the places of the Median desert, Saudi Arabia, which are full of oil." Although we cannot insist that this translation is the correct one, it certainly does support our postulations here. Anyone who could manage to conquer or acquire control over the Middle East would have the rest of the world over a barrel of oil. They would be able to call the shots. They could dictate to most of the other countries what they had to do in order to continue receiving oil. In order for any commerce to carry on, for the other nations' economies to continue functioning, they would have to have oil. In fact, in order for most countries to continue to eat, they depend completely on oil for their transportation system. The more industrialized a country is, the more they must have oil. Consequently, someone who controlled the oil could control them. The formula is simple. If you could control the oil, you could control the world. Interestingly, many of the more developed nations produce very little of their own oil. Japan, for example, imports 99% of her oil. Europe produces very little except in the North Sea. I believe that the United States pumps only about 40% of the oil which she needs. India and China, with their burgeoning economies and populations, are dramatically increasing their use of oil every year. Yet they produce very little themselves. This is one reason that oil is so expensive today. Consequently, these and most of the other nations in the world are completely vulnerable to anyone who could succeed in gaining control of the Middle East oil-producing areas. Therefore, if the coming Antichrist would consolidate his control over the Middle Eastern oil fields, he would be in a good position to begin to dictate his terms to those who need his oil. Perhaps there are a few countries which would not be heavily impacted by a consolidation of power in the Middle East. Nigeria produces oil and so would probably be exempt. Furthermore, the national leadership of this nation is principally Muslim. Venezuela also pumps lots of oil. Mexico produces more than enough for her needs at the moment. Brazil hopes to be energy self-sufficient in a few years. Russia would seem to be immune to threats concerning oil, yet it is very possible that the coming Antichrist will have another weapon besides oil, which he can use to force others to do his will. Terrorism. It is very logical to believe that someone like Osama bin Laden, who would manage to consolidate power among 10 nations in the Middle East and North Africa, would be familiar with the use of terrorism. Some of these countries already have, or soon will have, nuclear weapons and the missiles to deliver them. These nuclear nations could easily be a part of what will become the Antichrist Empire. Therefore, the coming man of sin could have two different weapons with which to control the rest of the world. He will probably have a two-fisted approach, so to speak, with one weapon in each hand. On one hand, he will have the oil weapon to persuade the nations to obey his will. On the other, he will probably have weapons of mass destruction at his disposal for those countries who are somewhat immune to his oil threats. Many nations who might not capitulate easily because of being deprived of oil might quickly change their minds if one of their major cities suddenly went up in fire and smoke. Also, merely seeing some other country suffer this punishment for disobedience might be enough to persuade them. In the Middle East today, there is no shortage of fanatics ready to sacrifice their lives to further their cause. Human bombs seem to be plentiful. It is part of the Islamic religion that to die for their cause guarantees them a place in paradise. This appears to be a powerful incentive. Therefore, the threat of nuclear retaliation against some ruler who used an atomic bomb for terroristic purposes might not have the same deterring effect that it would have on other nations. It is quite plausible to think that the Antichrist will have and use atomic weapons. Although there is no absolute biblical proof of this, we do have some indications in this direction which we will examine as we go along. Also, it is a very logical conclusion to draw from our present-day world situation. Any Middle East despot who wished to dominate the world would certainly think of these possibilities. Using these techniques, he would pressure the other nations to convert to his new brand of Muslim religion. Using these two levers, he could become very persuasive. Alternative fuels. If some tyrant gained control over much of the world's petroleum and started trying to dictate policy to the nations, what would they do? One possibility is to try to find alternatives for the fuel they need. Yet finding alternative fuel sources has not proven to be very easy. In the U.S., for example, there has been a strange resistance to developing new forms of energy. There has been some progress in a few areas, but it has had little impact on the fossil fuel consumption of the population. Besides this, if other such fuels were developed, the infrastructure to produce and widely distribute these products would take many years to install. Hydrogen fuel, for example, is something which is many years away from being commercially viable. Also, the U.S. has been very slow to exploit the energy she has available today. It seems that there is a lot of oil in Alaska, but until recently, the environmental protesters have made it almost impossible to drill there. Canada has tremendous deposits of oil sands, but the infrastructure to take advantage of this is underdeveloped. Although there seems to be oil which could be used, circumstances have prevented it. It almost seems as if there is some kind of invisible resistance to the world becoming independent of the Middle East oil. It almost looks like events are being controlled or guided by powers which supersede all logic. This might lead us to suspect that there is some supernatural force or forces behind these things. It is certainly true that God Himself is the power behind the many decisions and events which impact our lives. Through some supernatural design, it is the Middle East which possesses a large portion of the world's oil reserves. The world's dependence upon oil is certainly not an accident. Further, the seeming inability of the nations to develop other sources of energy also has not happened by chance. It is as if the stage is being set for a Middle East dictator to rise up and be able to make many demands upon the other nations simply because he will control so much oil. Of course, no one can be sure about exactly how the future will unfold, but certainly the world situation today gives rise to such possibilities. The modern world as a whole is vulnerable to anyone who might control the Middle East oil. Scripturally, we have seen that it is the coming Antichrist who will assume dominion over that portion of the globe. Therefore, it is almost certain that he also will control a lot of the world's oil supplies. This will likely put him in a position of being able to dictate his terms to those needing oil. The nations over whom the Antichrist might make these demands would either have to go to war or give in. If, as we have postulated, this dictator possessed nuclear weapons and had shown a disposition to use them, this would greatly deter any military action against him. Many nations would have no viable alternative other than cooperation. It will certainly be interesting to see how all these things work together in the coming end of the age. You have just listened to a chapter from one of David Dyer's books. These recordings or copies of the book are available at www.agrainofwheat.com. No spaces, all small letters. That's www.agrainofwheat.com.